From the Rust Center for Media in downtown Cape Girardeau, welcome to Focus on Southeast, a monthly program on issues and events impacting the campus of Southeast Missouri State University. I'm Dan Woods with KRCU Public Radio. Today we're talking with Southeast President Dr. Carlos Vargas. We'll be discussing the new Copper Dome Scholarship Program, along with news of Southeast Bachelor of Science in Cybersecurity receiving accreditation from the Accreditation Board for Engineering and Technology, those topics and much more. Dr. Vargas, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Dan. It's good to see you. One more academic year.
Another time. Here we go again.
Yes.
Well, the fall semester is well underway, and I'd like to start off by taking just a little bit of time to talk about enrollment, maybe if we've got some early numbers or how things are looking, and just how the semester is going overall right now.
Well, the semester is going very, very well. We're right now in the fourth week of the semester, so we're in the process of extracting the numbers and doing an analysis of where exactly we are and comparing it with last year. And at this point, we're almost there in terms of being able to quantify some of the results.
A lot of number crunching.
Yeah, no, yes, that's correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. What are some other things happening at the beginning of the semester?
Well, we actually are doing some really interesting things. We've been working on developing and strengthening some of our agreements, articulation agreements with other institutions.
Okay.
In particular, for example, this summer we actually worked with the Borough of Manhattan Community College to establish an articulation agreement on a musical theater. And as a matter of fact, I think a week or two ago, there was an opportunity for students at New York City to do audition for our program here.
Cool.
So I'm waiting to hear how that went. But our relationship with them is going very well. We're working very hard on making sure that we continue to promote our River Campus. Clearly, our newly formed College of Arts and Media is doing very well, and we're very pleased with what's happening there. We also introduced a new degree program at the graduate level. It's Applied Computer Science, and it's going very well. This is the first semester, and we have, I think, over 40 students in the program. So there's been a good response to that particular program. As you know, we last year we worked on reorganizing ourselves. You could almost say that we reinvented ourselves in the academic area. We have different organization of departments with our programs. So our portfolio of programs is pretty much the same as we continue to add new programs. But other than that, every program that we have had remains in place. The accreditation of all our programs remains in place. Access to the faculty for the students, essentially, there's really no impact or negative impact on it. But I think it's going to allow us to market ourselves a little bit more easily and more effectively to the community with the current portfolio of colleges that we have. So lots of things. I mean, we continue to work and we're making a big effort in making sure that people understand that at Southeast we prepare students to be career ready. From the very first day here, that's what we try to emphasize, to make sure that they are competitive in the workplace.
Let's talk a little about a recent visit by the governor. He was here earlier this semester for an announcement about Southeast Bachelor of Science in Cybersecurity program, which received accreditation from the Accreditation Board for Engineering and Technology. Mm-hmm. So the governor doesn't always come to campus for an announcement like this. So what made this so special? And tell us a little bit about the program for those who may not be familiar with it.
Sure. Well, there are, in general, in higher education, there are programs that have accrediting bodies. We call them specialized accreditations for those programs. But there are some that don't have that kind of specialized accreditation. ABET, which is the Accreditation Board for Engineering and Technology, accredits lots of programs, but they did not have one for cybersecurity. So they decided that they wanted to develop an accreditation process for that kind of programs. and they identified four institutions in the U.S. to participate in this first effort. So we're one of the four that went through the process, and we were successful. We actually received accreditation, so we're one of the four institutions in the U.S. right now that has accreditation for the cybersecurity program.
What is the importance, do you think, from the governor's perspective on a program like this and workforce and that kind of thing?
We hear just about every day in the radio and the news and television cybersecurity becomes increasingly important. Protecting your data, protecting your systems is becoming increasingly mm-hmm. difficult. This type of crime that we're exposed to is almost invisible to us. Yeah. And with this new high level of electronic communications and storage of information, so it's become very critical that we understand what are the weak points in our systems and how can people have access to them. So cybersecurity is going to only grow in terms of importance. So it does have importance for the government to protect their data of whatever kind it is, for banking industry, for their financial information. For any average business, it is so important that they have a certain level of security that keeps their data integrity at the highest level. So jobs in this field are going to continue to be very prominent. Our students, it is my understanding, they receive job offers before they graduate and at a very high level. And so we are very pleased with what's going on.
Well, I read that the U.S. Department of Labor expects a 22% growth in job demand over the next 10 years in the area of security against hackers. 22%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that tells us that the employment outlook for graduates in this program is probably going to be pretty yeah. good and very well-paid positions, too.
Yes, and we're going to continue to devote resources to that because this is a field also that's evolving. And so you need to remain competitive in terms of the preparation that our students have. So the curriculum is very important there, and that's why we're so pleased that ABET decided to accredit us because it just shows that that our curriculum is a state-of-the-art curriculum right now.
And to have the governor here for that announcement just speaks to the importance
and
of it.
And he came here, so we took advantage of that, and he was kind enough to actually share with us that excitement.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So, Southeast is launching a new comprehensive scholarship program called the Copper Dome Scholarship Program, effective with the fall 2019 semester. Will offer stackable awards with progressive values and straightforward renewal criteria for incoming students. Estimated that 70% of Southeast freshman class will be scholarship eligible. So, tell us what else more about the program, if you would, and then what prompted this change. It's a major change, as mm-hmm. I read it.
We needed to adapt to the current environment and new circumstances. We needed to make sure that that the students that are applying to the university find a friendly environment in terms of the financial burden that they experience. And so what you see here is an effort to actually broaden the scholarship so that more students are eligible to participate. They're stackable in the sense that they can... if they're eligible for Pell Grant, for the Missouri Access Grant, then our scholarships can actually build on top of those. And also we are making sure that we have a financial aid process that provides information to the students about the scholarships that they're able to get from the university in one step. In other words, rather than saying, here's your financial aid package, but then we will tell you later about what scholarships you're eligible for, we're going to incorporate everything into one message. And so, for example, if we have endowed scholarships, which are privately funded, mm-hmm. That information, we're trying to make sure that it goes in the same letter. So when a student receives the financial aid package from the university, Our intent is that they receive all the information at the same time that allows them to make a decision.
You really streamline the process.
Streamlining it too, because it's going to happen all at one point, right? And also helping them so that their burden, the financial burden on them is minimized, is reduced.
Well, I guess the neat thing about it is if you can stack, so you can take what the university offers and with other types of aid and put it all together and really
exactly.
have a picture of what you have as far as funds available for school.
That's right. So that instead of receiving one piece of information about your one scholarship today and another one next week, and this way everything comes at the same time, it puts the student in a better position and the family in a better position to make a decision about them. The other very unique thing that we're doing is we have what we call progressive scholarships, which is that the value of the scholarship is going to increase every year to keep up with some of the inflation. And so this way, you receive an amount for 1 year, and then the following year, that amount is going to increase automatically if you remain competitive and eligible for it. And so I think that's going to be something welcomed by the community.
And my guess is this fits in with the overall strategy of retention and graduation rates. This is important, right?
Our objective is to make sure that the students, first of all, that they come to the university, that they realize that this is an institution that offers high-quality education at an affordable price, but also that they remain with us in the long term. So we, as you said, we want to make sure that we achieve that goal of an 80% retention and a graduation of 60% also, which is particularly important for us.
Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about Hispanic Heritage Month, with the university celebrating September 15th through October 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that the celebration started back with President Johnson when he signed a proclamation. It was a week-long celebration back in 1968, and mm-hmm. President Reagan extended it to a 30-day celebration in 1980. I didn't know that. So this will be the fourth year here that our Office of Institutional Equity and Diversity has coordinated all the activities around this celebration, and there are many of them.
Yeah, there are many of them. And actually, I was happy to be able to participate in the one that took place just yesterday called Tacos at Twilight. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed. This is the second year, actually, that happens, but the number of people doubled compared to the first year. And I think I would say it's fair to say that everybody was really impressed with the number of people that showed up and the quality of the food. I'll tell you, they were true Mexican tacos. I know them well, and they were fantastic. So, and they were there for anybody who showed up. A lot of people came over and enjoyed. There were some, people singing, people dancing. A lot of Spanish, of course, being spoken, but there were a lot of international and domestic students there enjoying the environment.
Well, and these activities continue into October, but that leads mm-hmm. me to this question. So what do events like this do for the campus community and even for the broader region mm-hmm. when we have events like and things like this?
Yeah, it's just really an opportunity for people to come together, have conversations, get to appreciate what others do. Mm-hmm. Being different doesn't mean being better or being worse. It's just being different. And I think that this, there were so many children there running around and connecting with others. And that's what you want to do. That's how you create community. And I think that's one of the important aspects of this. And so the Latino community seems to be really coming together around here. There are some individuals that are, of course, the drivers of all this. There are some faculty members. Dr. Debbie Lee DeStefano is really a driver behind this. But many students have been collaborating, and the offices, as you said, mm-hmm. are participating in it. So, and that's only the beginning. That particular event was the beginning. So there are many other mm-hmm. events coming up. There's going to be some exhibitions on Cuban art, for example, coming up, and the screening of some films, highlighting some of the work that some Hispanic and Latino individuals have done. And so, there's going to be other events where there's going to be food available. I encourage people to attend. I encourage people to attend every time there's food because the quality of the food is fantastic, not only for the Hispanic month, but for any international activity.
Everybody. The university has welcomed 6 new international students to campus as part of the U.S. Department of State's Tunisia Undergraduate Scholarship Program and the Global Undergraduate Exchange Program in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. The group from Pakistan will study here through mid-December, and the Tunisian students will remain at Southeast through mid-July. So what can you tell us about these programs? I must be, if it's a new program for the university or if it's something that's been going on for a while, it sort of caught my eye.
Well, I believe this is a new program. This is just a result of some of the efforts that we've been making increasingly lately on to attract students here so that they're exposed to our institution. As you may remember, last year we brought a group of 10 students from Mexico,
right.
11, I believe. And so this is just one more example of what we're doing. We are right now in the process of remodeling the facilities that we had in Cottonwood, that we have in Cottonwood, to move the Office of International Services there and the IEP program, the Intensive English Program, there, so that they have a better location to operate. But this is really an example of bringing students to the campus, to the university, so that they experience who we are and develop, again, that understanding in that community. We want to make sure that we diversify the student population. This is an opportunity for our domestic students to be exposed to students from other countries. And my observation has been that that's been a very positive effort, very successful, and we're going to continue to do that.
Well, and I guess this, what the students learn here, they can take back to their country some concepts and different things that they're going to learn here, and it strengthens both partners.
It does. It's surprising how many times you find adults who remember and even continue to have relationships with individuals that they met when they were in college or even in high school. So this is an opportunity for the community around CAPE to experience sort of an international flavor without necessarily having to travel. And that might actually convince them that it's worth visiting other countries.
Yeah.
And learning other languages. I think we should not underestimate the power that it has to learn another language and how that really enhances communication and understanding among people.
Yeah. I'd like to just spend a little bit of time asking you about things that you're watching in higher education, trends, things that you've sort of had your eye on, maybe some things that might be interesting to our viewers.
Well, there is, at the national level, there are lots of conversations right now that there's the new time for the reauthorization of the Higher Education Act of 1965. So right now, there's a lot of conversation going on. And, of course, access to higher education continues to be an important, a very important element. The completion agenda is also extremely important. In other words, how do we make sure that students really complete either a certificate or an associate degree or bachelor's degree? It is so obvious, and there's so much evidence that individuals who advance and continue to educate themselves do much better, not only professionally but also in their personal lives. So that's happening there. That is going on. Of course, at the state level, we're seeing that Governor Parson has been very explicit about two particular goals that he has, which is to strengthen the infrastructure in the state and also to strengthen workforce development. And I think he sees universities and community colleges, of course, but I think he sees all of education really having a very important role in workforce development. So we're looking forward to participating in some of those efforts that he is that he's been spearheading and see how we can contribute to it. And that's why the fact that we're so committed to preparing students for the workforce, being career ready, is so important for us. So at this point, it's a very timely effort and timely strategic goal that we have.
Do you see the role of universities changing as the environment we're in is changing, and the way maybe traditionally had been the model for how things were done is completely being rewritten at this point?
There are many changes. The delivery of higher education continues to be an area where there's continued development and modifications and involvement. So that's evolving in a very significant way. Universities and community colleges, higher education in general, is trying to figure out how to really respond to the needs of the business community. How do we optimally prepare students to be successful? It's becoming increasingly clear that what we refer to as the soft skills, in some cases people refer to them as 21st century skills, this idea of knowing how to communicate, how to work with others, how to be a critical thinker, all that is becoming increasingly important. And so we, I think, universities are having to figure out how to promote that at the same time that they develop, that they help students develop expertise in a specific area and in a specific discipline. Mm-hmm. So it's a blending of these elements that I think is important that we become very good at to help our students mm-hmm. be competitive, because competition is not only local at this point for jobs. It's become international yeah. in nature, and so we need to help our students go from not just being manual workers, that mm-hmm. people talk about knowledge workers, how do yeah. people actually contribute for the future?
Dr. Vargas, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.